We're going to be in Psalm chapter 61, so if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. If you have your app or your phone, let's try again. If you have your device, you can go to YouVersion, go to Events, and River City should pop up, or you can type in River City's Community Church, which is really long, and it will come up, and you'll have all the scriptures and the outline available to you. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for the goodness that you have shown us. Lord, thank you for the six folks who were baptized today. Lord, we praise you for their salvation and their willingness to let people know that they are followers of Jesus. Lord, thank you for your grace. We ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you today about how to pray when your world has been turned upside down. Because living life, at some point, that's going to happen. It may not have happened yet, or you may have just come out of it, but it will happen. And what we can learn from the scriptures is how to pray when that happens. For most people, prayer is difficult. Sometimes it's because they don't know how to pray. They've never been taught how to pray. Other folks have learned to pray through difficult times and hearing other folks pray. Some have learned to pray through Scripture. But it's still a difficult thing. I heard one man say, in the worship service, when you hear the music, there's a bit of entertainment value to that. When someone's preaching, there can be some entertainment value to that. But when it's time to pray, it's hard. It's just hard work. I believe that that's where the battle is done, is in prayer. And so we can learn a lot from the scriptures. I know that in the hardest times in my life, I've had to learn to pray. I've had to learn to call out to God. I've had to learn to trust Him. But I praise God that we have examples like David. David, who was a king and was a shepherd, not a perfect man, but a man who called out to God when his life was turned upside down. And that's what this psalm is about. You see, as we come into this psalm, the first thing that we see is that this psalm was really a song that was to be played with stringed instruments. I started to go ahead and get a guitar and come out playing, but since I can't play, I figured I would spare you. But this psalm is to be played and sung. And so if you could imagine how David has written this and people were singing it in those Jewish times, in the Old Testament times, and they're learning through his difficulty. May we learn from his difficulties. May we learn what he did when his life was turned upside down. So let's talk about prayer. Psalm 61, verse 1. We're going to look at the first part of that verse. David says this. He says, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer." Right off the bat, we find him crying out to God. And this word for crying is a word that means a piercing or a ringing cry. It's not the sniffles. It's not just kind of, I'm a little sad. This is a crying out. I know there have been times that Jennifer and I have been sitting in the living room and we hear the boys in the other room and we think, actually she says, "Do I hear crying?" I'm like, "I can't hear anything, so who knows?" And I said, "I don't know." And so we go into the other room and Jonathan and Ben are playing in that room and they're just laughing and laughing, but we couldn't tell if it was agonizing crying or laughter, and that's this word. It's this loud crying to God without feedback. But we know this, that God is bigger than the situation that you're in. God is bigger than the situation that I am in. Maybe your situation is one where you go out from work and you get into your car and you're pounding on your steering wheel and you're crying, "Why?" This is what we're talking about. David understood this. He didn't understand the steering wheel side, but he understood the crying out to God. and believing God for an answer. Jesus told us that we can come to God. Those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior, we can come to Him and we can cry out to Him. Here's what He says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. It says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or to which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" What we see here is we can cry out to God when our life is unhinged. We can cry out to God, and as Jesus said, and as we'll see here in just a second, we can expect God to listen. Look at the next part of the verse in Psalm 61. He said, "Oh God, listen to my prayer." Some of the translations say, "Attend to my prayer." Give attention to my prayer, God. So he's crying out to God and he's saying, "God, listen to me." We can know that as children of God, he will listen to us. Now that doesn't mean that he will answer in the way we want him to answer. The answer may be yes. The answer may be no. Or the answer may be not yet. Those are the things that we see as God answers prayers. But this man is crying out, "Listen to my prayer." And the word prayer here has the idea of a lament. So it's an emotional cry because this man is in serious pain, serious sorrow. You see, they think that this psalm was written during the time of David's exile from Jerusalem. Some think that it is when Saul was chasing him, but I tend to think it's when Absalom, his son, took his throne and ran David off and was trying to kill his own father. So David has had to run into the woods, to run into places that he can hide, to run into caves, to hide from his son. This is why he is crying out, because he has lost his job. He has lost his money. He has lost his family. He has lost everything but God. So he's crying out to him, and he has this lamenting going on, but he believes that God will answer him. We have a God who answers our prayers. Amen? Douglas Wilson, a pastor, in his sermon on Psalm 61, says this. He says, "If you do not believe that God answers prayers, you've wandered into the wrong religion. Because we as Christians know that God answers prayer." Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verse 7. He said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it will be done for you." And it would be foolish to ignore what Jesus says in this passage, because he says, "You abide in me." So we're dwelling in God. We are staying with him. We're focused on what it is that he wants. His word is abiding in us. So that when we ask something, it's in agreement with what God has already said. God is not a genie where we can rub him or do this or that or get the right formula and then he will answer our prayers. No, he will answer our prayers. But again, it may not be the way we want them answered. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide or dwell in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." David also believed this. David believed that God would answer him, so when your world is turned upside down, you can believe that God will answer. And you can pray no matter where you are. Look at verse 2. "From the ends of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint." Again, honestly, David was probably in exile and he was hiding in a cave somewhere. He was distant from God. See, David was geographically distant from God because in the Old Testament, God would dwell in the tabernacle, the place that they would come to worship. Later, it would be the temple. And David was not in Jerusalem. Therefore, he was not close geographically to God, but he could still cry out to him. So if you're far from God, you can still cry out to him. If you are distant to God, you can still cry out to him. Have you felt that way? Have you felt that you're distant from God? All of these things are going on in your life and you can't figure out why. You don't know why. You don't understand why. But you cry out to God and you feel like he's miles away. But in reality, he is close. See, again, in the Old Testament, they had the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. I'm just going to read verse 8 at this point. It says, "And let them make a sacrifice that I may dwell in their midst." This is God talking to Moses. He says, "I want them to make a sanctuary where I can dwell in the midst of my people." So if the people wanted to come to God, they would have to come to that tabernacle. And they could only go so far. The priest could go further. The high priest once a year could go into the presence of God. But David was distant. He was far away from God. And he's crying out to God. But it doesn't matter where you are or what your situation is, you can cry out to God. The good thing is this, we don't live under the old covenant. As Rob mentioned in communion, we live under the new covenant in his blood. And this new covenant was brought about when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. And when that happened, the Spirit of God came to dwell in the disciples. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, His Spirit comes to live within you. So now we don't have to go to the church house to worship, although we do come together. I can worship God wherever I am. I can call out to God wherever I am. You can call out to Him. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you can call out to Him no matter what your situation. So we as believers in Jesus Christ cannot be geographically distant from God. Spiritually we can if we are walking in sin. And we must confess and repent of our sin. And then there are those who have never trusted Christ as Savior. If you have never taken the offer of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, then you are distant from God. This would be the situation where you cry out to Him asking for forgiveness. Just like I had to. Just like everybody else had to. So that our sins could be forgiven and we could be changed from opponents of God to friends of God to children of God. So that we can cry out to our Father. Not just some God off in the distance. If you have never trusted Christ, your first prayer will be, "God, I confess to you that I've been living my own way." We call that sin, and that's something we've all committed. And it's because of that sin you're separated from Him. But if the Lord is speaking to your heart right now, respond to Him in prayer. Tell Him that you have sinned. Tell Him you've been living your own way. Tell Him that you are now trusting in what Jesus did on the cross to pay for your sin. And you believe that He died and that He rose again. And you want Him to be your Lord. And you can be saved from the wrath of God, from the sin that you have committed, just like I have committed. So back to David. David believed God and he cried out to God, even when his heart was faint, when it was weak. The idea here is more than just kind of an emotional feeling. When we talk about the heart of man, we're talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions. We're talking about the center of you, where decisions are made, all of those kinds of things. That's what we're talking about. He was totally overwhelmed. And when he's totally overwhelmed, what does he do? He cries out to God. When your world is turned upside down, you can cry out to God. When my world is turned upside down, I can cry out to God. And there have been times that I have. There have been times that I have, in stubbornness, just tried to muscle my way through it. David was totally overwhelmed. He knew that he couldn't make it on his own. I mean, we have two options when we're in a situation that is overwhelming. We can either try to hunker down and get through it, and if we do that, we know that it will catch up with us one day. Or we can cry out to God. We can surrender ourselves to Him. We can ask Him to move in our lives. We can begin to seek to respond the way He would have us respond. That doesn't mean the problems go away. But that means now you're in tune with God. And you can see what it is that He is doing in your life, or how He is using whatever it is that's going on in your life. When you're faint or you're weak. When I'm faint or I'm weak. So where do we go from here? We've cried out to God. We've seen David pray to Him expecting an answer. We have seen that we can call out to Him no matter what our situation or where we are. The next thing that David shows us is to pray for guidance. Look at verse 2. David says this. He says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." It's so easy for us to get lost when we're weak, when we're tired, when we're worn out, when we've come to the end of everything that we know to do. And then we cry out for guidance. May we cry out for guidance sooner. David is saying, lead me now to the rock that is higher than I. I'll be honest with you, this is the verse that caused me to preach this sermon. As I was praying, as I was thinking, honestly, it was a difficult process. And I woke up one morning with this verse in my mind over and over and over and over. I wasn't thinking about this verse. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Honestly, I think that it's worded strangely. I think that's why it sticks in my head. But as I began to pray about this and look at this passage of Scripture, I began to see what God was doing in the life of David, and how David was teaching us how to pray when our life has been turned upside down, when it's been flipped on its head. David was most likely hiding out in the mountains and maybe down in a valley, and he could look up and he could see rocks all around him that would give a better perspective, that maybe were not rough terrain that he could stand on. To have that balance or to have the stability. You always think of the people who go on these cruises and they're in a storm and the boat's doing this. And I know if I do this too long, then some of you will get seasick, so I'll stop. But when the boat finally comes to port, there are people who will come down the steps and they hit the ground and they kiss the ground because it's stable. Everything has been moving around them. They have been sick. They have been afraid for their lives. But they're finally on the ground, and it's stable. I believe that's what David is saying. Show me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. Guide me to the rock that is higher than I am. Because he knew that rock was God. So he's asking right now. He's saying, God, now lead me, guide me to the rock. Because I know in the past you have been, look at the verse, you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. He remembers what God has been to him in the past. There are some of you that are going through difficulties right now that you can lean on the things that God has done in the past. You remember how he saw you through. And so you're saying, God, lead me to the rock. Lead me to that stability. Lead me to that place that is safe so that we can weather the storm. He may not take the storm away, but he will be with you in the midst of the storm. Maybe you're here and you say, I don't have that kind of history with God. I'm new to this. Well, the great thing is this. The Bible is filled with stories of God's faithfulness. The way I like to describe the Scriptures is it's God saying, I am God, I keep my promises, you can trust me. Over and over and over again. I am God, I keep my promises, you can trust me. And you see it in the Scriptures. Whether it's the Jewish people, whether it's the church, whoever it may be, God is faithful to His Word. So if you don't have that track record with God, you don't have that history, some other folks can speak into your life and tell you what God has done in their lives. But you can also look at Psalm 61. That's a great place. Looking at God's faithfulness. So seeking and praying for guidance and then applying that guidance that you probably get from Scripture, honestly. Seeking to apply it to your life so that as you face the troubles that come, you know the response that you need to give. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount gives us ways to respond to lust, to enemies, to wealth, all of those kinds of things. We can go back and look and see how is it that He says to deal with these things. He makes it very simple, not easy. There's a difference. Easy is not part of this. Life is not easy. But this is why David is crying out. And so David not only cries out to God, protect me. I remember how you've protected me. Give me guidance. I'm hurting. He also wants to become much closer with God. Look at verse 4. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Right now he is away from that tent, that tabernacle. But he's saying, let me dwell in your tent. Let me be close to you forever. And let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. That's the idea of a bird bringing its baby birds under its wings and protecting. So it's not just God protect me. It's God protect me. Let me come close to you and you protect me in our relationship. It's a personal situation. So it's the idea of praying to abide with Him. See, he sought God's presence. We have been given God's presence as believers in Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, Paul said this to Timothy. He says, there is one God. Is that right? There is one God. Amen. There's one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Jesus gave himself a ransom, as a ransom, for you and for me, so that we could come to God. We don't need another mediator. We don't need another priest. We have Jesus. But when we come to Him, we can't come to Him and say, I've got this, God. No, we come to Him in humility. That's hard. Both James and Peter quote Proverbs chapter 3, talking about how God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4, verse 6, but He, God, gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Peter also says it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, not just some of you, all of us, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. This is one of the reasons we humble ourselves before Him. It's because He cares for us, but it's also because He's God. So one of the keys to abiding with Christ, abiding with God, is humbling ourselves before Him, realizing that we need Him. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit is that person who realizes that spiritually, I'm destitute without God. And that's where we all are, apart from Jesus Christ. So praying to abide with Him when our life is turned upside down, praying to be near Him, realizing that His Spirit is within us. I know that when I went through the anxiety attacks, one of the things that I started doing immediately was beginning to pray, God, is there something between you and me? Is there some sin in my life? And there were things that needed to be dealt with. I'm not perfect. God, are there things between me and other people that needs to be taken care of? And there were a few things. But what it really came down to was that I was burning the candles at both ends. I was doing this, and I was doing that, and I wanted this, and I wanted that, and I ran and burned and ran and ran and burned until my body said, we're done. But God put me through a process of confession and repentance and thanking Him for forgiveness and worship. And it has been a long trek, and I'm not saying that it couldn't swing back around. There are times when other people are talking about their anxiety, I can feel it. But I'm asking that the Spirit of God would fill me, be in control, that He would give me peace rather than me just trying to get peace. Now, there were other aspects to that, just to be clear on this or transparent. I did go to the doctor and medicine and all that stuff, so I just want to be transparent about that. When we begin to pray, when our life has been turned upside down, the next thing that we need to do is we need to pray remembering the promises of God. Here's what David said. He said, for you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint your steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So I will ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day by day. David remembered the promises of God. You see, God had made a promise to David that David would have an heir who would be on the throne forever. That's Jesus. That's who it will be, who it is. But when he's in the midst of this, he's saying, God, hear my prayers. Help me. I remember what you have done for me in the past. I remember the promises that you've made. And he began to stand on those promises. Knowing the promises of God as a believer in Jesus Christ is absolutely imperative when your life gets turned upside down. Because God is faithful. He keeps his word. If you don't know the promises of God, now is the time to begin to look at the promises of God. What has he promised the church? It's a whole other sermon. I figure you all would like lunch, so we won't go on that one yet. But what are the promises of God? Begin to look at what they are for the church. So David was sure that his prayer would be answered. Because he knew the promises of God. He knew that he was had that heir to the throne. He knew that God had given him the genealogy. You have been given this genealogy or heritage of those who fear God through Jesus Christ. And we can rely upon those things as we worship God. So if you have truly trusted Christ, that's your heritage. It's important for you to know the promises of God and to be more confident in who Christ is and what he has done. And when you cry out to God, when you feel distant and weak, knowing that he will answer, knowing that he is there, knowing that he is our protector, sometimes through the storm. That he keeps his promises. And then you begin to praise him. That's what he says at the end. So I will ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day by day. As he walks in obedience to God, he praises God. That's why I encourage people when they're struggling with sin, I'll say, confess your sin to God, which means to agree. Repent of your sin, which means to turn from your sin or my sin. Thank Him for forgiveness. And then worship Him. Because what we do in the opposite is we feel bad about our sin. We beat ourselves up. We draw further and further away from God. And Satan is going, that's right, you're no good. And we go further and further away. Instead, let us confess our sins. Let us turn from our sins. Let us thank Him for forgiveness. And let us worship Him. And praise Him. Because then Satan is backing off. Because God is being worshipped. And that's what you see with David. He starts out saying, oh God, I am so far from you. Oh God, I am struggling so much, but I know that you hear me, and I know that you keep your promises. I know what you have done. I know what you will do. And so I praise you. When our world is turned upside down. So I encourage you, as we close, to think about this. What are you going to do with the Song of David, with Psalm 61? There will be some of you that you'll go out and it will go from your mind. That happens to me sometimes too. There are some of you who will dig in because it speaks to you right where you are right now. And there are some who will put it to the side and then later God will say, you remember Psalm 61? And it will be that morsel that you need at that time that you struggle. So what will you do with this song? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, thanking you that you allowed David to write Psalm 61, and he shared so many of his thoughts. Thank you that he was transparent. God, thank you that you don't let us walk through life alone. You don't let us go through our life being turned upside down and you not care. You care very much. Father, thank you for the times that my life has been turned upside down only to see you and to help me get my priorities right. Father, I pray I would gain wisdom from that. I pray others would gain wisdom in their lives so that we don't have to go through those things, but that we can glorify you regardless. Father, I ask that you would speak to each heart here, that your Spirit would move upon us. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, I ask that you would speak to their heart, that they would know that today is the day. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.